over the past few weeks, most of us were transfixed by the dramatic events in a cave in northern Thailand. The eventually successful quest to rescue 12 boys and their young soccer coach captured our imaginations and drew people together in a shared hope like few other stories in recent years. I think that at some primal level, most of us can identify with the feelings of being trapped underground and unable to get out, because somehow these stories always get us hanging on the edge of our seats, glued to the news reports, following every development until the end. Many of you will have vivid memories of doing the exact same thing almost exactly 21 years ago as rescue workers dug Stuart Diver out from under the wreckage of a ski lodge hit by a landslide at Thredbo in New South Wales. The following year, I based one of my most powerful ever sermons, I think, on that story when the gospel reading of the search for the lost sheep came up. Maybe next year when that story comes up again, I could redo it based on the events of these past weeks, or maybe not. But the global impact of the Thai cave rescue has been so profound that I want to attempt some preliminary consideration of it tonight. And given how much trouble I had pulling these thoughts together, it might be unwise to try and do it this early, but here I am. The Bible readings are not as obviously relevant, but there are some connections that can be made. I'll confess up front, though, that this sermon is probably not as driven by the scripture readings as much as I normally intend. But the first major connection that I want to make is a very general one. A big part of what captivates us about stories like the cave rescue is the wow factor. When we comprehend the almost impossible odds of a successful rescue and realise what extraordinary bravery and commitment it takes on the part of the rescue crews, we're just blown away with amazement. Just wow. They actually went for it and they actually pulled it off. Wow. And the world, usually so fractured, managed to unite and work together in the way that we always wish that it would. Wow. Just wow. Once when I preached on the reading that we heard tonight from the letter to the Ephesians, I actually titled the sermon, Wow. Because I think that's the impact that the apostle intended these words to have when they were written. He's trying to stand back and convey something of the big picture of what God has done and is doing to totally transform the world. And he's just blown away in amazement. Wow. God has actually gone for it and is actually pulling it off. Wow. Now, that's still fairly general. The connection with this reading goes a little beyond just the wow factor. The amazing big picture that the apostle is describing is a picture of a cosmic rescue mission. It would have been easy to overplay this card in light of recent events. I was seriously tempted to base my sermon on a rewrite of the passage using the cave rescue imagery as the main focus, but to be honest, I would be stretching the imagery a little bit too far. The apostle uses imagery from the Exodus from slavery. The cave rescue imagery is not unrelated, but it's not the sole or even major focus, so I've pulled back from trying to make the passage bend to the image. But trying to keep it in perspective, the image of being trapped in a dark and deadly place and being totally unable to rescue ourselves without major outside intervention is a good picture of the kind of predicament that the apostles describe the human race as being in. All natural escape routes have been cut off by a rising tide of corruption that cuts off the fresh air and threatens to swallow us up in its toxic slime. But in this passage, the apostles' focus shifts, much as ours did in recent weeks, from a preoccupation with the predicament to the wow factor of the subsequent rescue mission. Despite our predicament, and despite the fact that we have done nothing to deserve God's concern, God chose us before the foundation of the world and destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will. He goes on, "For in him we have been recovered at a great price and forgiven for getting ourselves into the mess in the first place. And all this is not on the basis of any cost-benefit analysis or judgment of whether we are worth it, but simply according to the riches of the generous grace that God has lavished upon us." Wow. Just wow. One of the things that's astonishing about the cave rescue, when you stop to think about it, is that it was allowed to happen at all. So much of the time, our world is completely bloody-minded about these things and deems thousands of imperiled lives to be not worth saving. I'm very glad that no expense was spared to rescue those boys, and I totally support it. But if you remove all emotion from the equation and ask whether it's worth it, it's a very difficult question to answer. The ethics of the situation are actually quite complicated. On the one hand, every life is precious, and we should always do whatever it takes to save every life. But on the other hand, we don't do that very often. Although I haven't heard any figures yet, the rescue operation will have cost many, many millions of dollars. At least one of those boys was a Rohingya refugee from Myanmar. And not very far from the cave, there are refugee camps where thousands of Rohingya lives are in serious danger. And those millions of dollars could have saved many, many more times than 13 lives. The truth is that our world could easily do both if we had the will. And a part of the wow factor that the apostle is trying to wake us up to in the Ephesians reading is the astonishing fact that God does have the will. That God does not suffer compassion fatigue induced by the seeming impossibility of the world's ongoing problems. But that God is just as gripped by the plight of the most anonymous, stateless refugee far from the TV cameras as by the high-profile cases with plentiful made-for-TV pictures and backstories. This is what the apostle describes as the riches of God's grace lavished on us. Grace is precisely the generous desire to take all cost-benefit equations out of the mix and to treat all of us with the same passionate commitment that has just been focused on those 12 boys in the Thai cave. All of us. That's you too. The fact that our world is so partial and inconsistent in showing such compassion and commitment is one of the things that this recent experience calls us to reflect on and to address. In Thailand in these weeks, we have seen humanity at its best. But all too often, our news is full of stories that have much more in common with the grotesque events that we heard about in tonight's gospel reading. A good man is beheaded for the entertainment of an aroused mob and to preserve the vanity of a despotic leader. There's no good news in that story. But it is a stark picture of the ugly truth about the world that we live in. Our own nation has a gruesome history of massacres of the First Nations people of this land. And some of those massacres were also treated as almost a form of entertainment. I've just been holidaying in New Caledonia, one of the Pacific islands from which Indigenous people were kidnapped to work as slaves on the cane fields of North Queensland. And while we often think that such practices have been eliminated, it is probable that there are more slaves in the world today than there have been at any previous time in history. The good news is that it is precisely from such a callous and cruel world that God will spare no expense to rescue us. And that's not us just as individuals, that's to rescue the world, to transform the world. In and around the Thai cave, we caught a glimpse of what the world will look like when it has been transformed into the courageous and compassionate culture of God. We also caught a glimpse of the cost. Because there is a family in Thailand this week grieving the death of a beloved son. A beloved son and husband and father. Samangunan volunteered to put his life on the line in the rescue mission. And it cost him his life. His family are proud of his heroism, but that doesn't diminish their grief. God does not pull back from paying such a price either. The death of a beloved son in the rescue mission that seeks to save us from drowning in cruelty and callousness is an unimaginable price. But God's passion to get you out and adopt you as God's children will not be deterred, no matter what the risks. This last connection may be the product of an overactive imagination, but I caught another glimpse of the cave rescue story in our first reading from the second book of Samuel. We heard the story of King David bringing the Ark of the Covenant up to the city of Jerusalem. The Ark was the great symbol of God's presence with the people, and it had been with them since the days in the wilderness after the Exodus from the land of slavery. Tonight we heard about the enormous, joyous procession as it was carried into the city. Everyone was singing and dancing and cheering. And we have this picture of them carrying it just 6 steps at a time. And after every 6 steps, they stop and the king offers up another thanksgiving sacrifice to the Lord. As I read that this week, I was kind of weirdly reminded of the pictures of the rescue workers carrying the boys on stretchers out of the cave. The progress was slow and careful, but in that final section approaching the mouth of the cave, they were surrounded by an enthusiastic and joyous crowd. And it struck me that just as the Israelites were carefully carrying a sign of God's presence, of the world that they longed for, so too were the Thai rescue workers. The boys on their stretchers were a potent symbol of the world that we long for, that we yearn for, a world that we long to live in, a world where every life is precious. And courage and compassion unite to rescue every lost and imperiled child, woman, or man. Perhaps that's part of the reason that events like those in the Thai cave so transfix us. Perhaps it's not just that we share a primal fear of dying slowly in a dark hole deep underground, although I'm sure that's part of it. Perhaps it's even more that we saw the world put aside its differences and show its best self. Perhaps it is that we caught a glimpse of a world transformed in the likeness of Jesus, a world that treats all its children the way each of us yearn to be treated. Perhaps it is that we experienced a fleeting taste of the kingdom of God. The culture of God, the world as it is destined to be. Each time we catch such a glimpse, such a taste of the transformed world that God makes possible, it transfixes us and leaves us hungering for more. Here at this table tonight, we are invited to taste it again and nourished by these tastes and visions from the table and from Thailand. We're called to lean into that vision, to live with unbounded, whatever it costs, love and mercy and compassion and courage, and to follow Jesus in being the change that we long to see.